buckets. We're going to get started in 1 minute. 1 minute. Put your pennies in those buckets. You can visit the penny exchange table, and that announcement is for adults as well. There are, guess what? Whole bricks for $10.
Whoa.
There's a whole brick for $10. Or a half brick for $5. And so
we
already bought those. But right now, Pastor Jordan's going to come. Woo-hoo. Everybody stand up together. We're going to sing
our theme song together tonight.
Children,
let's go. Adults, stand. We're going to sing Building the Kingdom.
Working, working every day, building the kingdom. Serving, serving is the way, building the kingdom. Give to those who are in need, love your friends and enemies, shining for the world to see. Building the kingdom. Building the kingdom, not my own, living for Jesus Christ alone. God has given us a mission, building the kingdom. Put aside my own ambition, building the kingdom. Praising, praising Jesus' name, helping friends to do the same. Spreading, spreading Jesus' fame. Building the kingdom. Building the kingdom, not my own. Living for Jesus Christ alone. Building the kingdom.
VBS, and it looks like we've got some great buckets. We're going to weigh those at the end and see. But guess what? I hope some of you earned some tickets last night. How many earned some tickets when you came out, saw that fun time store?
Cool.
And if those tickets, you can buy all kinds.
Oh, we have a goober.
I'm not.
What is this?
What?
Fire. God is giving me the fire song.
doing all my chores, cleaning up my messy room, sweeping all the floors. Mother made me clean my place, kiss me in my chair. Oh, pity me, cause life just isn't fair.
You know what we need to do? We gotta call the ambulance, definitely. Here we go, ready?
In Jim's life. And when we left him last time, he was excited about a trip that he was going to make. If you remember, he was going to his friend Dave's house for Christmas. But his friend Dave had a sister. Can you remember her name? What was her name? Her name was Elizabeth. Her family usually called her Betty. And Jim had already started calling her Betty quite often. Well, he spent that whole Christmas break at her house, and they would talk for hours and hours. They talked about some of the most interesting subjects. They would talk about war. That's kind of silly, huh? They would talk about poverty. They would talk about poetry. But the one subject that they really liked to talk about was missions. Just what we've been talking about, being a missionary. During the whole time Jim had been at school, he had been thinking, I am sensing that God is calling me to be a missionary. And I think it's going to be on a foreign field in another country. But I'm not really sure where. But I know he said, go and preach the gospel. So he and Betty would talk about that quite a bit. But they also had other discussions because they were becoming best friends. When they went back to college, often they would take long walks. And one night, you know where they ended up? In a really weird place. They were in a cemetery for some reason. And they sat down on the ground and they started talking. And they realized that they really loved one another. And they thought that it would be really nice to get married one day. But often Jim would say, Betty, I'm just not sure that it's the right time for this. I know God wants me to go and be a missionary, but I think he's leading me to a place that's going to be really hard to live. It's not going to be easy, and I think maybe I need to stay single. I shouldn't get married. And do you know what Betty said to him? She said, Jim, I think you're right. I think we should do this. I think that we should say to God, guard our hearts, but go forward carefully. We want to do what's right. We want to love you in first place. But let's still keep having a really good friendship, and we'll see what God has for us. Well, things changed a little bit. Betty came to Jim right towards the end of that school year, and she said, Jim, I'm going to be going off to Canada for the summer. And Jim thought, oh, I really like talking with her, and we pray together, and we really love each other, and I'm not sure I want her to go, but she needs to do what God wants her to do. So he said, Betty, you go. But Betty said one more thing that was even harder. Back then, they didn't have cell phones. You know how they talked with each other? By writing letters. And Betty said, Jim, let's take all summer and not write one letter to each other. Not even one letter. They were going to go all summer without even knowing anything about each other. And Jim agreed to do that. But he didn't just sit around like, you remember Whiny Wanda? He didn't do that. He didn't say, oh, I miss my Betty. I really want to write a letter. No. He said, you know what? I'm going to spend my time doing things that really matter. I'm going to spend a lot of time in prayer. I'm even going to read some really good books. I'm going to read books about great men of God, great women of God who served him faithfully, because that's what I want to do. He even decided to go to a linguistics school. I wonder what that is. You know what it is? It's a place that you go and you learn all sorts of skills and ideas about how you can learn another language. Miss Donna speaks another language. Would you like to hear just a little bit of it? Boa noite. Como vocês estão? Estão aqui na EBF? Na Igreja Batista da Fé? Who understood me? Did anybody understand me? Mr. Azevedo understood me because he speaks Portuguese over there. I figured there might be one person, and maybe Miss Martha, if she's in here, she speaks Portuguese. But nobody else. Jim wanted to make sure that he was ready wherever God called him, that he would be ready to go. So he went to study languages. He knew probably he would have to know Spanish, but he might need to know a few more languages. While he was there, he met a missionary who was in the country of Ecuador. If you've ever heard about Ecuador, it's not here in North America. It's in South America. And the missionary that talked to him was a missionary that worked in the jungle, in a very remote place where life was difficult. And guess what that missionary said to Jim? He said, Jim, if that's what you think God has called you to do, you better not get married. It wouldn't be a good thing to take a wife into that jungle. There are so many hard things to do. And Jim thought, oh boy, I think I'm going to have to pray more because I really do love Betty. I know she's in Canada. Maybe God will change things around. Maybe it'll work out for us to still go to Ecuador together. But a little bit later on, once they got back to school, Jim met another missionary to Ecuador. And he said, Jim, I want to tell you about something. Have you ever heard of the Aucas? And Jim said, the Aucas? No, I've heard of a lot of other tribes there in Ecuador, but I've never heard about them. And that missionary said, Jim, the Aucas are a tribe of dangerous, savage, violent, mean Indians. They go around with no clothes on. They steal people's machetes. They steal people's axes. And any white person that has ever tried to get near them, they push away. They won't even try to talk to them. But he said, Jim, those Aucas need the Lord. They need salvation, just like Jim already had salvation in Jesus. Jim had such a burden in his heart for those Aucas Indians that he decided, and we keep going back to some of our words, he decided, I'm going to take 10 days before Betty comes back, and I'm going to pray about this. For 10 days, he asked God, please give me direction. Tell me what I should do. I want to make the right decision. I want to follow you, Lord. At the end of those 10 days, what do you think that answer was? The answer was, go. I want you to go to the Aucas. Jim sat down and he wrote something in his journal. And it's something that until today people know Jim for. He wrote, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That means you're a very wise person if you're willing to open your hand up and even give good things to God, because in the long run, you're going to get something much better. You'll have a relationship with Christ. Now, last night, I gave five of you a little bitty Hershey candy bar. Did anybody that got one come back with it? You came back with it? Way to go. Could you open your hand and give that to me? She has it. Well, look at that. Would you open up your hands? And I want you to close your eyes, because just like I told you, we had a deal. If you brought it back just the way it was without nibbling on it or letting it melt, I was going to give you something bigger and better. Are you ready? Open your hands. You get a big, huge Hershey bar. Was there anybody else? Okay, if you brought it, and you brought it, and who else, and you brought it, as soon as we're done here, right as you go out those doors, I'm going to be standing there, and you come and make the exchange with me, because I've got your candy bar. Tomorrow night, I want you to come back, because you're going to hear more about Jim, and especially about a trip that he had to take, and how God did amazing things to answer prayer so that he could make that trip. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, do we have to wait again?
Oh,
yeah, oh, man. I was thinking you could find. Yeah, we'll have to come back tomorrow night. But guess what? Did you know tonight is a very special night? Do you know why? Tonight is none other than Touch a Truck Night, and we've got some big dump trucks, and we've got an excavator, and we've got that thing and those things and whatever those are. Who are excited about Touch a Truck Night? Now, you may also want to earn tickets, and if you want to earn tickets,
there's
a lot of ways you can earn tickets, but there's one way you can earn double tickets tonight, that is if you go to our carnival game of the night.
Ooh.
Now, what is our carnival game of the night?
Miss Elena.
Oh, and we've got some other helpers that are going
to
tell us.
They're coming
Miss
out
Elena
of the woodwork.
And other helpers. What is
hey, guys,
our carnival game
is it
of the night?
Taking the trash out to the road?
Yeah. Is it taking the trash out? I think it might be more involved.
No, I think it's
yeah, okay.
It's more fun than that.
Yeah, go ahead.
It is mini golf!
Today, if you play mini golf, you don't get one ticket. You get two tickets, and everyone only gets one.
All right. Well, how many are going to play mini golf, the carnival game of the night? All right, we got to get mid double tickets. Let's give it up for Elena and her helper.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. We're going to send you right out there. If you have pennies as you're being dismissed, we make sure you drop them off in the buckets. We're going to let the preschoolers go first. Everybody else sit down. Preschoolers are going to stand up first. They're going to go out. And once the preschoolers are out, everybody else is going to follow behind them. As well. We're thankful for the energy that the kids can provide for this room and you can support. We're excited to be able to continue our vacation Bible school. Even as the kids are dismissed, I trust as you're coming in, maybe you saw some of the pictures. I know most of you are in the room during the time, so you don't get a chance to see all of the different things that are happening, but they have been doing a lot. When we started BBS, we had a prayer goal based on even our Kids for Truth numbers. We were hoping to be able to have 150 by Tuesday. And last night we had 149, so we already hit our goal before we came there, so we thank the Lord for that, and we're excited for what God is doing. So many good contacts already. I hope you'll stay with us throughout the whole week. In fact, in addition to all that's going on with the Vacation Bible School and in a moment what Pastor Fant will be leading us through in part two, on Wednesday night we have at least two special announcements that we have been really eager to share with you related to our midweek programs here at church, and we will be unveiling them. That's like a good radio tease, isn't it? We'll be unveiling them to you on Wednesday night, so stay tuned with us. Obviously, if you're joining us for the first time, we're so thankful that you are here with us. Before you go tonight, would you be so kind, if you're new, especially the adults, find me. Pastor Stockard is over there as well. Even Pastor Fant knows exactly what we have. And we would love to give you a gift
from us, from our church, just to let you know how thankful we are for your family. And if you dropped off your kids with us for the first time, we are honored that you would trust us by sharing the gospel truth with you. We want you to know as parents that we view ourselves as a partner with you, and we want to partner with you through this process. And so we want you to know all that's going on. The lessons for the kids are being recorded, just like the lessons for the adults, and you'll get a chance to hear those as well. We'll send them to you if you registered. But we're so glad for it. Our ushers are coming forward right now, as they did the last few nights. And as we did last night, at once, you know, the offering plate passes by. If you'd be so kind as to move into these middle sections, Pastor Fant's been so gracious to speak to us, but I don't know if he wants to play ping pong with you as he's speaking, kind of back and forth with the empty middle section. So if you are able-bodied and willing to fill in these sections, just as soon as the offering plate kind of passes by your row, if you'd be willing to move in, and then once the offerings are done and the offertory's been played, Pastor Fant's going to come with night two of our Building Strong Home sessions together. But let's pray and thank the Lord for what he's already been doing and what he will continue to do, we trust, through this week. Lord, we thank you so much for the rejoicing we can do. Lord, we can set human goals and prayer requests and watch you just shatter all expectations. And we're thankful for that. You are a God, Lord, who delights to give abundantly. And so, Lord, as we take this offering, and the proceeds of which will, we trust, be a blessing to our two speakers this week, as they've already been a blessing to us. Lord, would you just use this to further their ministries? And would you, as we pause to pray, would you continue to work in the hearts of young children and adults alike as they hear the gospel clearly presented and the truth of God's word as they're applied to your lives? We pray this in your name. Amen.
God's people said. Amen. Who's back there tonight? Oh, always. Thank you. That was beautiful. Okay, thanks for coming back out tonight. If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand, and Ty and the other great ushers will get you one. Anybody need a handout? Some right over here. Again, appreciate you coming out. One of the things that several things I always fail to do. I need Dan Snow right up here by me. Now, he didn't remind me of this. Okay. But if you have a question that you want answered, okay, we're going to have a Q&A time each night. It's hard to hear and hard to get a microphone. So if you could, if you would just write out a question, leave it at the Welcome Center. Okay, Welcome Center desk, then we'll pick that up. One question last night. All right, so let me say tomorrow night, we got split sessions. The ladies will be in here. My wife will be speaking on conflict in the family. Not that anyone ever has that, okay? And then men will meet in the atrium. We'll be dealing with approachability. Are we approachable? And how important that is. But one question did come up. So how do you deal with a family member who has separated themselves from you? What do you do? And there's certain things you can do and certain things you can't do. One thing you can do is pray. Okay? Search your own heart. How did I contribute to the problem? Because remember, Matthew 7 makes it very clear. For us to see the speck in our brother's eye, we ought to get that telephone pole out of our eye. So, but you can do that. And we do all we can on our side. There's nothing wrong with sending cards or texting someone that's cut you off unless they say don't do that anymore. But again, so that was just one question that came up last night. I understand this. So there's certain questions, I understand, you would not be comfortable asking from the floor in a family conference. I got that. So if you would, you can anonymously turn it in at the Welcome Center. If you'd rather me not address it publicly, put your name, cell number, email address, some way I can get in touch with you. I'd be happy to follow up with you on that. And you also have so many wonderful people here that you can go to for help as well. So very thankful for that. Also, last night, I presented something a little bit different. So on your outlines, I forgot, it was still PPP. Does anybody remember that? So what was PPP? All right, so the way I said it was, present your spouse perfect, okay, or don't speak evil or speak bad of your spouse in public. So what the original PPP was, present partner perfect. But I got fed up with the word partner. I'd rather have spouse. So anyway. And I forgot to make that change in my outline. So that's what PPP was last night. So at any point, if I leave something out or something's not clear, usually Gretchen and I are hanging around. You can ask me or you can email me or send the church office. If you don't have my email, they can get it to me. Anything we can do to help. It's a privilege to be here. Now tonight, we're talking about another subject. Now, and we get in some of the outline. If you were at the men's conference at the Wiles, I covered this. So you say, okay, well, Pastor Fant, why are you covering it again? Because it's that important. So often, I'll be in the room with someone about to die, and they will say, can you get a hold of some, they'll name somebody. I cannot tell you over and over again this has happened where a believer, a born-again believer, is dying, but they've been living unreconciled with somebody for years. It could have been a spouse. It could have been a child. It could have been something. But so often in marriage, we say, I do. And then often then we say, but I will not. I will not forgive them. Or in relationships. We just refuse to go down the road of seeking reconciliation. And sometimes with the Lord Himself. I've dealt with several people that said, my sins are so horrible, there's no way God can forgive me. So tonight, I want to talk about three important aspects of forgiveness. The first is our relationship with the Lord. How do we have forgiveness from the Lord? And secondly, you know, how do I forgive somebody? How do I make that right? And then how in the world will somebody forgive me for what I've done against them? So I want to urge you as we go through this, it's a pretty sobering message because we have to search our hearts.
Because I can tell you that there's nothing more beautiful than seeing two believers who have been unreconciled, whether in marriage or in family, to see them get things right before the Lord. And anyone that, if you've had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ, to see someone come to be restored to a right relationship or born again, and to have their sins forgiven, and to see the peace that floods someone's heart. So this matter of forgiveness is so crucial, both in our walk with God and our walk with others. And again, obviously we're focusing on family, but this message does deal with family, but also deals with, you know, outside the family. Father, we need you tonight. We know what you paid so we could have forgiveness with you. So, Father, do not allow us to be complacent, unloving, uncaring, disobedient to you. Don't allow us to not listen to the promptings of the Spirit, the urgings of the Spirit. Father, help us to obey your word and how we are to live out this important message of forgiveness. Father, no doubt there are unreconciled relationships in this room tonight. So I beg of you that we'll walk away with what we should do in our next step of faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look at this. Because I am convinced a biblical understanding of forgiveness will change your life. And it will change your family's life. And it will change your church life when we truly understand what biblical forgiveness really is. So look on your outline first with me. Forgiveness is given to you by God. And when God gives you forgiveness, really there are three promises He gives. So asking forgiveness of God, God promises to, number one, to forgive and cleanse. He promises to forgive and cleanse. You know, if I hit the right button, it normally helps. There we go. Oh, I hit it twice. 1 John 1:9, most of you know this. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to do what? And to do what? Cleanse. I never forget the first time I heard this verse. I was an unsaved freshman at Clemson University. I was living in the guilt of sin, as anyone at that age who doesn't know Christ is. Didn't know what to do. I was under conviction for my sin, but I had no idea how to get it. And I went to a Bible study thinking it would help me, and this was the memory verse. I will never forget the first time I heard this verse read from the Word of God. As an unsaved person, this is the verse where I first understood that God can and will forgive me. See, I was brought up in a very religious home, but it was very much a works-based. As long as my good works outweighed my sins, I knew I would go to heaven until someone challenged me on that. And I did not have the humility to go ask and say, would somebody please help me? So I lived in private misery for many months under the clear conviction of God that I needed to have forgiveness. I heard this verse and it changed my life. Now God used this verse to help me understand that I needed forgiveness. And later on I was saved by understanding John 3:16. But the point of 1 John 1:9 is, notice, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful to forgive and to cleanse. And any time those seeds of doubt get into your mind, is God really forgiven me? Go back, lay your Bible open to this verse, get on your knees, pray it aloud. Lord, you have said this, I believe it. Therefore, Lord, I want to set my mind aligned with your word. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another great verse, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and does what? believeth in him that sent me hath what kind of life? Everlasting, not temporary, has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment because he's passed from death unto life. And you'll never be judged for your sins because God has forgiven you through Christ. So this is one of those verses that clearly lays out, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, that you hear my word, you believeth on him, the object of your faith in order to gain forgiveness from God must be the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. In order to be forgiven from God for your sins, the object of your faith must be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he died for my sins according to the scriptures. He was buried on the third day he rose again, 1 Corinthians 15. So the object of my faith in order to have forgiveness from God for my sins must be not my prayer, not my church membership. It must be the finished work of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation. There is therefore no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus, to those who have been saved. There is absolutely no condemnation, no judgment. Why? Because you are forgiven and cleansed. If you think back to that moment of salvation, you think back to that moment when you're declared right before God. You think back to that moment when God forgives you and cleanses you. There was a very popular business motivational speaker called Zig Ziglar. Some people my age and older, you remember him. He had a quote. Here's a believer from his testimony. He had a quote. He says, you know, occasionally we need to go visit our hall of shame. Sometimes we need to go back and remember how great the power of forgiveness of God really is. Because we have been forgiven and we have been cleansed. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no judgment at all for our sins for those who are in Christ. Those moments we need to go back and remember. So the first promise is God to forgive and cleanse. The second promise is this. God's promise to remove. I'm not sure I fully understand this, but as far as the east is from the west, so far has he what? Removed our transgressions, our sins from us. Now, I understand what that means. I understand what it says. I'm just saying I'm not sure I can put my arms and my spiritual understanding around that. All I do know is this. That's far, far away. And this is what the psalmist has declared. So when we are forgiven by God, our sins are removed from us. Now we know that we may live in the consequences of sin. I got that. But it doesn't mean we're not forgiven. Those are two separate things. So let's please just come and say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure how to grasp how far this removal is. Well, Lord, I take you at your word that you have removed my sins. And then another great concept, and again, it's just hard for me to get my arms around this. Another great concept here is our third promise, and the promise is to remember no more. So God's three promises to forgive and to cleanse. God's promise to remove. And again, this one still, I mean, I understand it theologically. And then again, I don't understand it theologically. And this is what I mean. Isaiah. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. But yet we know God cannot forget. He wouldn't be God. And it's repeated in Jeremiah 31, where it says, and you know, at the end it says, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. And then the writer of Hebrews picks up the same phrase. So we know this phrase is given over and over. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. So the way I take this, it is God's active promise that I will not stand and be in judgment for my sins. He chooses not to prosecute me. It's an active promise that he will not prosecute me for my sins. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Why? Because I've been forgiven. Now, I forget things all the time. just ask my wife. Ask the Snows. I told them I was going to get something for them today. I didn't do it. So, you know, but God doesn't forget anything. Yet because we're in Christ, He chooses, as a promise, never to present our sins before us. There is no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. This is a wonderful promise. But now remember, this is only for believers. For those who have placed their trust in Christ, as you heard me say, as a freshman in college, I didn't know what belief meant until I read John 3:16 and then understood it. And the Spirit of God illuminated my heart to understand whosoever believeth in Him, not whosoever works for Him, hath everlasting life. But this is the marvelous things about the forgiveness that God gives us. Forgiveness is given to you by God. So let me ask you a question here. Two questions. Will you be condemned? Or have you passed from death unto life? There's only one of two things. John chapter 3 says, to those who have believed and those who have believed not. So it's very important we come to an understanding that if we have not come to Christ by faith, if we've not trusted in Him and His finished work to remove us of our sins and to make, or to move our sins and to make us right with God, we are under His condemnation. There is judgment for sin. Or, as John 5:24 says, the minute you believe in Christ and trust Him for your salvation, you pass from death unto life. That's a promise. Done. And then you don't go back, okay? There's no reverse in this theology. You pass from death unto life. And at the end, we don't have time to meditate on this, but the second question is, so what sins do you need to confess to God? Now, as a believer, your sins are already judged, but there's a point of fellowship with God. So as you sit here tonight, how sensitive is your heart to sins against our Father? How sensitive is our heart to our gossip, our lies, our deceit, whatever it may be? So what do you need to confess before God? Secondly, tonight, I want us to go to forgiveness is given to others by you, or this is when you forgive others. Again, 3 points we will cover. God forgives us. You forgive others, and others forgive me. So the second point I want to focus on is really, and again, this gets into, okay, you are to forgive others. So let's go to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 3. Luke 17. I love this passage because it's one of the most misunderstood passages in Scripture. When people get it, they get it. Okay? Luke 17. I'm going to read starting in verse 3. And we'll go through 6 and then we'll look back up. So forgiveness. Forgiveness given to others by you. And first, so when do you forgive? When others ask you. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If that brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, do what? Forgive him. If he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day. Okay, and if you take that as a literal day, which most of Scripture is, that's 24 hours. So for our math majors, so if you divide 24 hours by 7, what do you get? Roughly. 3.5. Okay. And let's say that's a 16-hour. Let's just say that's a waking day. Because it's hard to sin or be sinned against while you're asleep, right? So if it's 7 times in a 16-hour day, how many times a day is that? I mean, how many times are you sinning? A little over 2 hours. So 7 times a day, I turned to the geese saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The apostle said what? What did the apostle say in the next verse? All right, let's translate that southern. There ain't no way, right? So, Christ, this is what he says. 7 times in one day, and they say, I repent, thou shalt forgive. And the apostle says, there is no way we can do that. Increase our faith. So let's dissect this to this point. So look at your outline. This is what it means. So when others ask, first, you should approach the offenders. When others ask you, you should approach the offender. Because Scripture does not allow sin to go unchecked. When I was here with you 9 months as an interim, we went through this over and over. Scripture never allows sin to go unchecked. So again, if someone sins against you, trespasses against you, rebuke him. So what are some other verses on this? We have Matthew 5. You've heard it said, by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, that was fast. All right. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, so instead of offering plates being passed, they would stand in line to present their gift. So therefore, as you bring your gift, you're standing in line to give your gift to the altar. And you remember, a brother has what? All against thee. What do you do? What does the verse say? Leave the gift. What's the first priority? First be what? Reconcile to your brother. Go that way. First reconcile. And then come back. So remember, in this passage, Christ is putting a priority on reconciliation over giving a gift at the altar. Don't worship until you're gone and made things right. So this is the importance of understanding that you should approach the offender. Take heed of yourselves, that thy brother trespass against him, rebuke him. And if he repent, if he says, I repent, what are you to do? Say it good and loud. Forgive them. If he repents, forgive him. So three common excuses for disobedience. I will forgive him when I see fruit in his life. Okay, so common excuse number one. Okay, I'll forgive him, but I got to see fruit in his life. Now, are there works for repentance? Yes or no? Is it obvious? Yes. We understand that. There is worldly sorrow and there is godly sorrow. And one night we went through a whole chart. In fact, Jim Burke presented. It's a whole chart. You can look it through that. So as we look at this, I want you to understand there is a difference between forgiveness and then rebuilding trust. So he says, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Common excuse, I'm going to forgive him when I see fruit in his life. So the question is this. How does fruit grow in 3.5 hours? 7 times in a day. Or how does fruit grow? What was the other one? Every 2 hours. Is no time. So common excuse number one, I'll forgive when I see fruit. Common excuse number two is I don't have enough faith. Okay, so how much faith does it take for you to obey God and forgive somebody? Look at verse 5. And the apostle said to him, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you just had faith as what? A tiny seed. So for you to forgive somebody is not a matter of how much faith you have, or how much faith you don't have, is a clear matter act of obedience. Again, step one, forgiveness. Step two, rebuilding trust. Common excuse number three for not forgiving. I don't feel like forgiving. Now, can that be, all right, now let me say this. Has God wired us with emotions, yes or no? Yes, yes. So our emotions should flow from right thinking. Okay, so, but there, we understand that when God has wired us, we got to bring our emotions. Okay, our emotions, are we thinking biblically so the right emotions flow out of our heart? Okay, because a lot of times we got to make ourselves do things we don't feel like it. And you can say, I just don't feel like forgiving them. Okay, this is how Christ deals with this. Pick it up with me in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is coming from the field, go and sit down to me? And of course, the answer, no. So what he's saying is, okay, the servant's been out in the field all day, plowing, working, feeding cattle, doing all the work. Okay, and now it's time for supper. So what does the servant do? Does he just come in and eat? No, no, no. What's his next job? After working in the field, he's got to fix dinner. All right? So this is what it says. Does he go sit down and meet? No. And will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt drink? Doth he, the master, thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He says, no, you don't. So the deal is, the servant simply doing what is required of him. He does not have to be thanked. This is what he is to be doing. And notice verse 10. So likewise, Christ is saying, ye, when you shall have done all the things which commanded you, say thee, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our, what? Duty to do. So if you look at this, I do not feel like forgiving him. It's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of duty. It's a matter of obedience. Regardless of what you feel like doing or not feel like doing, I don't want to feel like forgiving because you just don't understand how much he has hurt me. I think I've used this illustration, but I'm going to say it again. So years ago, Gretchen and I were working with a couple. And we went through this passage. And I said, okay, so by next time, you need to be ready to forgive. And you need to have, you know, need to be ready to come and make sure you understand what you need to ask forgiveness from of how you've sinned against your spouse. And each of you be thinking, so when we leave next time, we want a clear slate. So the wife says, well, I you know, it's no problem. I have all his sins right here. I said, what do you mean? And she pulls out a notebook. And I think they've been married maybe 8 years. Every sin document. Wow. It's okay. So we came back and, okay, it's time to forgive. And she just, wait a minute, just can't be that easy. I said, when you're ready to forgive and you ask, you know, and you're ready to forgive him, then I want you to give me that notebook. All right, so we do understand, especially when married and we said I do and now we say I won't. We understand this can build up, right? And build up. And build up. But there's a point where we have a duty to forgive. We have a duty to forgive others regardless of how they've sinned against us. It is your duty. Increase our faith. How much faith you need? Christ says no. Just a wee little bit. It's not a matter of fruit, it's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of we have a duty to forgive others when they ask us. This can be very hard. Because I know, and many of you have been hurt really, really seriously for a long time by a spouse, a parent, or a friend. But when they come and ask forgiveness, according to Luke 17, according to instructions from Christ, you must forgive. This is your duty. Any justice or retribution, let God take care of that. So the first thing we must understand, God is ready and God does forgive us and cleanse us. He's promised to remove our sins. He's promised to remember our sins no more. And there's an aspect here that forgiveness is not a matter of feeling, but of duty when others ask you. There's also another aspect here I want to cover that you know, you're to forgive when others don't ask you. So, Pastor Fant, what that's all about? Well, let's look at several verses here. I want to go through these because we got to understand this. There are some people you may never be able to locate. And there's certain people that are have passed away. And if you don't get this settled in your heart, just go ahead and put shackles around your hands and your feet. Because you're going to be held captive by your unwillingness to forgive. Now, I clearly understand that forgiveness is a transaction. Gretchen, I sinned against God, I sinned against you, will you forgive me? And then she forgives me. But if you're waiting for that perfect transaction to take place and somebody's already in heaven, it's not going to happen. Therefore, you need to have your heart. The title of this message is The Home with the Right Mortgage, and that really means no debt. So I don't want to be indebted to somebody, and I don't want to be carrying around somebody else's debt. Ephesians 4:32, and be you kind to one another, tenderhearted, doing what? Forgiving one another. Psalm 86:5 makes it very clear, for thou, Lord, art good and what? Ready to forgive. Now, some would word it this way, that when I have my heart right with the Lord, I am ready to forgive and I'm not harboring any bitterness. Therefore, when somebody asks, I will forgive them. If that's the way you want to take it, that's fine. If you truly are ready to forgive them, if you're standing ready. Goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 6. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It goes on to say this in Matthew 11. When you stand praying, forgive. Because there's certain people, the fact is, that have died and you never will be reconciled with. This side of glory. Or maybe never. But still, you cannot be held captive by their sins against you. You cannot be held slave and being held captive because they did sin against you. Therefore, you must lay it with the Lord and you must be ready to forgive or be ready to give it and be ready to forgive and even go ahead and forgive. Because all of us have had somebody to sin against us in a pretty horrible way and they may never forgive. They may never even be saved. They may never be under conviction. They better not have any cross their mind. They need to come and ask forgiveness from you. But you need to forgive. Otherwise, you're being held captive by them. Let's look at one more point tonight. And at the end, I'll ask you this question again. Those that I need to forgive for sinning against me. And finally, let's go back to Luke 15. Again, a very familiar passage. Forgiveness is given to you by others. This is when you are forgiven by others. Others forgive you. We understand that we are to first go quickly to God. So when you are, we got to understand Luke 15, starting in verse 18. The prodigal says this, I will rise and go to my father and I will say unto him, my father, I've sinned against who? There are two things here, against heaven and against you. So please remember, every sin I've sinned against somebody is first a sin against God. Okay? And it's also a sin against my wife or whoever. So every sin I have sinned against someone, it's also a sin against God. And the prodigal makes this very plain. And you know the account is the prodigal was living in misery and he came to his end. And this is what he said, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him. He had determined in his heart, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it right. So as you determine that you're going to go make it right to ask forgiveness of somebody, this is a great pattern. I'm going to say, I've sinned against heaven or against God and I've sinned against you by you fill in the blank with the person. So you go quickly to God. You go to God and you ask forgiveness from God before you ever go to that person. Lord, please forgive me for sinning against so-and-so. Lord, I'm going to go. Lord, empower me. Give me the grace. Give me the courage. Thank you for forgiving me. Now help me go and ask forgiveness and make right to those I've sinned against. So we do go quickly to God. And then we should go quickly to others. And again, in Matthew 5, makes it very plain. We go back to the same thing. If I remember my a brother has aught against me, what am I to do? Leave the gift at the altar, and what am I to do? I'm to go. So first, if I have sinned against somebody, you need to go to God, and then you be ready to go to them. Leave thy gift. Go. So as you think about the sins you have committed against others, do you need God's forgiveness? Do you need to forgive someone? And do you need to go and ask forgiveness? So those I have sinned against, I've been saved about 4 or 5 years. I heard my first message ever on this topic of really restoration and how and go and ask forgiveness. I'd never heard this before. And I was at a conference, so the conference was at night, so I took a week of vacation, so I had the days free, and I heard the message that night. The next day, you know, some of you have heard my illustration, I call this my legal pad moment. So I got in the Word and I prayed and I took out a legal pad and I started listing against everybody that I knew I'd sinned against. Since, you know, again, by this time I'm 22, 23. I prayed some more. I kept writing. I mean, it's amazing when you, and I had vowed, Lord, I will go to them. Lord, I'm making a vow. I want you to bring these to my mind. And the Spirit of God just kept bringing up people and people and people. And this was a long 2-page list. But this was a turning point at this point in my young spiritual life. Because, see, I grasped God had forgiven me. And I grasped that. And I understand how much I had offended Him. And now I came to the realization of how much I had offended Him by sinning against others. So this was my legal pad moment. I made a vow, Lord, you bring these, again, before the internet, right? Many years ago. So I made a vow, Lord, you bring these people across my path. I vow to you, I will go. And this is what I'm going to say. I'll just use, I don't know, Marshall. I sinned against God and I sinned against you. When I lied to you about this, will you please forgive me? And most people say, oh, that's okay. Because they're not used to such. Well, what do you mean sin? Whoa! Say, no, listen carefully. I've become a Christian. I sinned against you. You remember we had this conversation, Marshall, and I lied to you? I lied. Well, you didn't know I lied to you. I lied to you. Will you please forgive? God forgive me. Will you please forgive me? And they, you know, after you pick them off the floor, right? I can tell you, these people started showing up one after the other, after the other, after the other. I mean, I got 2 pages. Single space. You with me? Right? And I can tell you, when it got down to these last few, it's really just the hand of God. That by His grace, He allowed me to go and make things right with those I'd sinned against. Because I'm convinced of this. When we look at the way God's forgiven us, and we grasp that, that is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And we understand, and we go visit that hall of shame. Now, those sins are forgiven, but I need to go back and realize there's not one sin I could not commit outside the grace of God. So the power of God to forgive us, and then the power that even allows us to go and ask forgiveness according to Scripture. This is His grace to allow us to participate in this act of reconciliation. So three questions. Do you need God's forgiveness? Normally in someone, normally in someone this size, there's someone that has thought, there's no way God can forgive me. You've heard preaching, but you, in your mind, you know the sins you've committed, and there's no way you think God's going to forgive you. In fact, some of you may have even thought about taking your own life because you're living and thinking something that's not true. It's the blood of Christ that does forgive from all sin. The only sin that will never be forgiven by God is the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no other sin that will not be forgiven. So I don't know what lie you're believing, and you've kept that to yourself, but I ask you tonight to come to Christ by faith, understanding He will forgive you. You cry out to Him, He will forgive you. Secondly, do you need to forgive somebody? So who is it in your heart that has hurt you in such a way? They've abused you. They've used you. They've left scars upon your heart and upon your life. But you won't forgive. I was sharing in the atrium a few minutes ago. There was a lady in our church, and she knows I tell the story, and I think I've used it here at church. Her name is Glenda, and she was at our church. All I knew when she came, she's, you know, great lady. She's about our age, maybe a little bit younger, and all I knew was she'd been divorced. She never remarried, and she raised two girls, and she's had a sparkling testimony. And so, you know, you don't go there if you don't invite it. And so one day she came to me and said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." She said, "You know, I really haven't talked to you about my husband. We've been divorced a long time, and he left me for other women. But I got a call from him this week, and he's got stage 4 lung cancer. And he called me, and he wants me to nurse him until he dies. So what do you think I ought to do?" I said, "Whatever you decide, I'll support you." Okay? Because you got to remember, her husband's still living with another girl. And I said, "So what do you think?" She says, "I think that God wants me to take him back in because I've been praying for him to be saved. And he's dying. This may be that opportunity." I said, "Glenda, whatever you decide, I'll support you." So she called him back and said, "Okay, come on in. Come on back." "So did you talk to that preacher?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Well, what did he say?" He said, "I'll support you whatever you decide. And I've decided I want you to come back, and I'll nurse you till you die. And that's what he said. He'll support me." He said, "I need to talk to him." So we did. So I always had, one man in the church that would go with me on very difficult visitation calls because he would sit there and pray. And God always had him to say the right thing at the right time. We just had a special relationship that way. So we go to the hospital and go meet the guy. And so everybody ends up clearing the room, long story short, and we went through the gospel with him. He said, "Well, you know, Glenda's going to take me back." I said, "Yeah." I said, "She wants you to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, have all your sins forgiven." He said, "I need to know more about that." And as we went through the gospel that night, he was gloriously saved. Because Glenda was willing to do a very, very hard thing. So until he died, I would go over once a week. And we'd go out on the porch because he was still smoking. He had oxygen. I don't know why I'm still alive today. I don't know why we didn't get blown up, but we didn't. And at his funeral, through Glenda's love for the Lord and trying to get things right There were more people that heard the gospel at any funeral I've ever preached than that funeral. It's phenomenal. See, Glenda was willing to forgive someone. And then lastly, I'll ask you this question. Are those that you need to go and ask forgiveness? And if so, you need to ask God to bring them your way. Ask God to work on your behalf. And you know what? You need to do it now and not delay. Another couple in our church, the husband had died and the lady was dying and she was very close to death. And I got a call from her daughter and all and said, "Pastor, I don't know what's going on, but she wants to see you right now." So I went over and talked to her. She made her daughter-in-law leave the room. It's just me and her in the room. She said, "Pastor, this was a sin I never confessed to my husband. I need to tell somebody now." Folks, I'm talking 40 years. She's a believer. She was in church every Sunday. But she was carrying the guilt of not making things right with someone she had sinned against. Don't live in that lie. Don't do it. So, again, who are those that you need to go and ask forgiveness? So what we're going to do now, we're going to bow, and I'm just going to ask you to search your heart on where you need God's forgiveness, on where you need to forgive someone. And then I want you to pray for those that you need to ask forgiveness. Lord, go before me. Lord, go before me that I may go and make things right. So let's just spend a few minutes. Bow your head and think through these three aspects of forgiveness. You need to slip out and come to the altar. We have time for that. If that would mean more, you're welcome to stay at your chair. But you do business with God right where you are. As you're praying and keeping your heads bowed, I just want to give this question. I'm the only one looking, but if you're here tonight and you said, "Pastor Fant, I need to be saved. I need right now to cry out to God to forgive me of my sins. I need to pass from death unto life. I need my sins forgiven by God." No one looking but me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Anyone at all tonight? Okay, if you can look up, I'll be at the back. I'll be in the atrium or right in the back if you want to talk. Ladies, my wife will be here. Dr. Ms. Berger right down here. The Stockards are here. So we want to help you, because I know this topic usually hits a good, hits home. I was working with a young believer, and he had blown up everybody. I mean, his wife or two wives, and just everything. And we talked about this. And I said, "Okay, if I say this, you need to go and ask forgiveness." Who immediately comes to your mind? "Oh, I got it." I said, "Okay, can we ask God to go before you?" He said, "Okay." So this was like on a Friday afternoon, and he was going down. He taught umpires how to be umpires. Okay, so he's putting on an umpire clinic for baseball the next day, and he went, and later that night I got a call, and he was so excited. I thought he got born again twice. I didn't know. I said, what happened? He said, you remember the guy that you told me to pray for on Friday? Well, guess who was at the clinic on Saturday? And I said, so what did you do? He said, oh, I'd made a vow. I went to him and I asked forgiveness. And he couldn't believe it. He says, what's happened to you? He said, I've been born again. All right, so what I'm saying is God will go before you. He will. So I just ask you, and I could tell you we're out of time because the kids come back in. I could sit here for the next hour and give personal account of me going to make things right with others. And the miracle after miracle. It was unbelievable the way God puts people in your path, much less now with the internet and everything else, the way you get in touch with them. But folks, God is concerned. He loves you. He wants you reconciled to Him. He wants you reconciled with others, especially in the family. He wants a family reconciled with each other. There's so much work to do for the kingdom. Don't let unforgiveness be the shackles that keep you from doing that. Thanks for listening tonight. Tomorrow night, again, we got split sessions. Pastor Caleb, turn it back over to you. The kids are coming back in. So I'll ask our adults, if you can make your way back out to your seats. Is that right, Pastor Caleb?
We are on schedule tonight. So the kids are going to be in here in about 5 minutes, is all, at the top of the hour. If you happen to have, I know some adults are also participating in the agreement, you're welcome to.
It's just the red buckets of the girls and the blue or the boys. I had a couple adults ask me that, so there's your answer. But you may want to, because they're coming in, they'll take these seats away from you, and I hope you'll stay for our closing ceremony here in just 5 minutes. Wow, look at that. 9.5 of it. So we'll get 9
good time at VBS tonight. How many people here climbed on a truck tonight? Let me see your hand. Very nice. How many climbed on more than one? Let me hear you cheer. That's pretty good. All right. Now, in a moment, we are going to go ahead and find out who won tonight. Do you think it's going to be the girls? Woo! Or is it going to be the boys? But before we can do that, we need to find out who will be the builder of the night. Now, Mr. Dave, Mr. Clutzy Kevin, how do you get to be the builder of the night?
The builder of the night, you bring visitors. That's who gets to be the builder of the night. And tonight, we have a winner. There we go. Come on, move fast. You get down there. So, for our winner of the night, someone who brought three visitors, drum roll, please. Sydney Noel.
Sydney Noel.
There you go. You get to do the double fist of candy grabs.
All right.
Hands in. You take out as much as you can get.
One, put one big hand up in the air.
And?
Put one big hand up in the air. And take two hands and grab as much candy as you can.
Come on.
Woo! Give it out of the ball. Nice. That is our builder of the night.
Awesome. We have a tie. Everybody over here go. Ah. All right, for our second winner, also brought three guests, is Mr. Craig.
Brayden Center!
Guess the exact number. This person comes from fourth grade. They guessed 500. His name is Levi.
Come on up, Levi.
Come on.
Put one big hand up in the air. Put the other hand big up in the air. And reach down in there and grab as much candy as you can.
Hang on a second.
Man, I don't know. There might be some out here. They might want to be the builder of the night.
Maybe.
Now, boys and girls, I got something to tell you. We had 161 kids here tonight. Everybody, oh, man. Now, I'm going to make a deal with you tonight. If you bring more visitors with you, and we get to 180, you get to put a pie in Pastor Jordan's face. Yes, you do.
Yeah!
Now, I gotta say, if we get to 200, I think everybody up here that is Craig and me and Clutchy Kevin and Pastor Jordan, if we get to 200, you get to pie all of our faces.
Woo!
We're going to stand and sing. We're going to sing Jonah. Let's stand
Everyone
up together.
Stand.
Let's stand up. Now, when we get to those verses, you need to watch us carefully, because when we get to Jonah, we might be standing up and sitting down. Here we go.
Come and listen to my fearful tale of the ocean blue. How many got swallowed by a whale.
Jonah, sit down on the ground like that. Jonah,
Jonah. Stand right back up. Just like that trial one time. Jonah. Very nice. Jonah. Very nice. All the adults are like, why did I stand to participate in this song?
I think it's the opposite, Pastor Caleb.
Well, we're going to do it this way. Here we go.
We'll do it.
Jonah on the second verse.
Jonah did not like what God had meant.
We'll start it. Ready?
Then a great big fish that God had made swallowed Jonah whole. But the Lord heard Jonah when he prayed, rescued my poor soul.
Here we go.
Jonah, Jonah, did not lay immediately. Jonah, Jonah, down in the depths of the deep blue sea.
Let's stand on this last verse. Careful out there. You never know. And BBS can get quite ecstatic. You know, all those kind of things. You know, I think we got one more song we can sing before we wear this offering. I think we can do the same thing, but this time we're going to do it with letters, right? So we say every letter. You say O, B, stand up. E, sit down. D, stand up. I, E. I can't wait to see the adults try this one. It's going to be so much fun. All right, let's go. Let's sing this one. Ready? Oh, we gotta start sitting down. Here we go. A truck night. Let me see your hands. Hey, guess what?
Woo!
We have great news for you.
What?
Not only will our Fun Time store be open right after this. How many have tickets? Let me see those tickets. But also, the trucks will be open again right after our closing ceremony.
What? Yeah.
Hey, can you? Very nice. Very
Woo!
Nice. All right. Oh, wow.
We forgot them. Sorry.
Is there a reason for the attire?
Tomorrow is inflatable night.
Oh, man! What are we gonna have for inflatable night?
We're gonna have bouncy houses. We're gonna have giant slides. We have all sorts of things you can bounce on. You don't have to be stuck inside one of these, but you'll have lots of fun.
Who's gonna come to inflatable night? That is so awesome. Hey, guess what else? Hey, there he goes. Hey. Hey, tomorrow night, I think if it's going to inflate, we might as well also make it double ticket night. I think that would be awesome. Let's do that. Hey, but I think there's one thing we still have yet to find out.
What is it, Mr. Caleb?
I mean, I don't know. We probably could just wrap it up tonight, just go home. Everybody ready to go home?
Ah, no. Yeah, let's go.
Call tonight. We
can go ahead and
Yeah, we just go. Right,
go.
Yeah, we just clean up.
Wait.
Wait, did the girls win yet? Did the boys win yet?
Come on, guys.
Hey, let's get some guys up here. Let's find out. And as they're coming up here, let's see. Do you think the girls are going to win or the boys? Who's going to be the loudest? We got some bricks in there. We bought a brick for the boys. We got some bricks for the girls. We got some bricks. Hey, look at all this. Look at all this. Oh my goodness. Oh man. Sorry, Josh. You did nice. All right. Wow. And oh.
Ready?
Oh.
Let's go, boys.
I don't know. We need to. Here we go. There we go. Ready? All right. Let's dump them in there. Oh, man. Thank you. Stack that differently. Oh, my goodness. There we go. Yes. There's some pennies going everywhere. Oh, my goodness. All right. Here we go. You ready? On your feet. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on! You got two more nights to make up for this. And lest you forget, you can buy a full brick for $10. You can buy a half brick for $5. Who's going to come out tomorrow night for VBS 2023? We're going to let the preschoolers go out first. They'll be picked up from their classrooms. All other grades will be picked up here from the auditorium. The trucks will be open, and the Funtime store will be open afterwards for the next 15 minutes. You are dismissed.